We're going to get started this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to Waldo Baptist Church to our morning Bible study. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. I want to remember Jerry Mizell in our prayers. Found out last night he's in Baptist Hospital with pneumonia. So want to remember him in our prayers and lift him up in prayer. And Sharon as well. So remember them. And we appreciate that very much. Baby Louie, I think he has an upper respiratory infection. So he'd pray for him as well. Lift him up in prayer. So it's good to be in the Lord's house with you. Good to have the prodigal son and his wife, Medici, back with us again. I won't even repeat that online. Yeah, we're still on. We have covered a lot of ground, brother, since you left. We're on chapter 2. Yeah. Amen. Well, we're having entirely too much fun to be in church, so have to calm it down. We had 16 show up for our eat and meet at Willow Pond Friday night, and I appreciate everybody that came, enjoyed the fellowship and the food, and glad that everybody could come and be there. Kay was able to come and eat, and that was really a blessing for me that she was able to come. Yes. Mike Hicks, yes, he had surgery. Can't remember what day it was, Friday? Thursday. Thank you, brother. He had surgery on Thursday, and they are doing a biopsy. And so remember him and remember his family in our prayers. Lift him up in prayer. Jana? Okay, remember Chuck and Jana for traveling mercies and pray her. Oh, Charlie's taking. Oh, well, Charlie drives good. That'd be all right. I think we can trust Charlie. So remember Charlie and Jana for traveling mercies and her for good results on her tests. Yeah. Tina? Shirley Lewis. Okay. Shirley Lewis in Metropolis has a fractured back, so remember her in our prayers as well. Lisa? Sheila Johnson. Sheila Johnson. He has. My goodness. Shirley Johnson.
Sheila.
Sheila. Sorry. Sheila. Sheila Johnson. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Sheila Johnson. Remember her in our prayers too. You wasn't listening, was you? Jim, would you tell her I asked for prayer for Louie? Thank you anyway, honey. I love you anyway. This is tough. Oh, me. Shirley Jennings and Gary, them in our prayers too, very much, very much. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we live in a broken and a hurting and a dying world, and you know that. And Father, all these names we mentioned this morning are very important to us and we know to you. So we lift them up and we pray for healing and grace and comfort. We pray that you might overshadow them with your loving kindness. We pray that you might bless and watch over the caregivers that care for them. And Lord, we pray for their highest good and for your glory. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer and the things you've already done. So we lift all these names up to you because they're souls, they're people that we care about. And Father, we pray that your perfect will might be done in every circumstance, and you might give them grace and mercy and bless them with your presence. Father, we ask that you might open up our hearts and mind to your word this morning, that we might not only be able to hear, but clearly understand and apply it to our own lives, that we might become more like you and less like ourselves. We thank you for Jesus, the life we have in him, for so great a salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Aaron as he speaks in the 10 o'clock service today. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Jim, we're in the second chapter. Second chapter, and I'm going to begin in verse 4, but our study is actually down in verse 5. He says, as you come to him, the living stone. Now, what we're studying about here is Christian privilege. The things that we have through Christ our Savior that are a privilege to have. We did not deserve them, we could not earn them, but they are given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we repent of our sins and place our faith in him. The first privilege that we saw was union with Christ. We become one with Christ. And that's the first thing that we saw when we looked at this scripture here. As you come to him, the living stones, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So as he is a living stone, you also become like him. Living stones, eternal life. He is the life giver, if you will, the creator and the giver of life. Now then, so if union with Christ was our first privilege that we saw, our second privilege that we started on last Sunday night was access. As a born-again believer, I have access to God through Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about in verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. To be a holy priesthood. Now, if you look over in verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So, if you're of the Baptist faith, and you look at the Baptist faith and message, you'll see a heading that says priesthood of the believer. And so, as a born-again believer and child of God, I have access to the Father through the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So 24/7, I have access to my Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful privilege. That is a absolutely mind-boggling privilege that we have. We have access to the Father through the Son, who is our great high priest. Now, in him being the great high priest, he has told us here, each one of us, we are all part of the priesthood. We are all part of the priesthood. That means several things. It means, first of all, we have access to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, all the time, 24/7. So that is a wonderful thing in itself. And so we find out that we have access But we also, in the priesthood, if all of you and myself are in the priesthood, that means God considers us to be His priest and representative on earth. As a priest in the Old Testament had responsibilities, so do we as the priesthood on earth under the new covenant. And so we looked at some of the responsibilities of the priest in the Old Testament as we began this last Sunday. And now we're going to continue to that. And notice what it says here, because it says to be a holy priesthood. Now notice what it says, offering spiritual sacrifices. And what does it say then? Acceptable to God. So we're called to offer spiritual sacrifices, and those spiritual sacrifices have to be, first of all, acceptable to God. And then it's through Jesus Christ. So if I look at what my function is as a believer, as a child of God, as a part of the priesthood, then I look at these things and I say that, well, I have access to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, and through my life is to be filled with offering spiritual sacrifices to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Well, what does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifice? Well, the first thing it says is that it has to be acceptable to God. Now, Aaron's sons offered sacrifices that weren't acceptable to God, and they died. We see the responsibility that is connected with offering spiritual sacrifices. Saul had a great triumph, but God had commanded him in that victory that he had to slay all the animals that were there as well, which he did not do. But he brought those back with him after his triumph. And by doing so, he violated what God had told him to do. So he lost what? His crown. He lost his throne. And God said, there'll never be another king come out of Saul's loins. And David became the king after Saul. So we see there is a responsibility that I have as a believer in my life to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What does that mean then? It means that He gives us not only the right of entry and access when we come. Now notice what it says, through Jesus Christ. Now then, when we say that, we're not just talking about we can do anything we want to and say, well, this is through Jesus Christ, or this is for the Father. It has to be, when we're talking about Jesus Christ, number one, it has to be according to His will. It has to be according to His will. Not only has to be according to His will, but it has to be something that will bring Him glory and honor. It has to be something that will bring Him glory and honor. It has to be something that will edify the name of Jesus Christ. That will edify the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we're talking about Jesus Christ, we're not only talking about the person, we're talking about everything that is done according to His will and His purpose and His plan. So, in my life as a believer, as I go through my life, I'm looking at things that I'm involved in my life, that are opportunities for me to work according to the plan and the purpose of Jesus Christ. According to the plan and the purpose of Jesus Christ. Because those are the things, the will of God, the plan of Christ, the purpose of Christ, and the honor for Christ. These are the things that I look at in my life as I go through that God would consider acceptable. That God would consider spiritual sacrifice. And so that's what I want us to think about as we go on and we look at this. I've kind of give you a Reader's Digest a version of it. We're going to John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. And as I was sitting there and Aaron was preaching this morning, I heard him say that he was talking about some passages of Scripture that are misrepresented sometimes. And this is another one of those. John chapter 14, verse 13. I'll get there in a minute. I'm going to start with verse 12. Tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And look at verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay. Now, this gets back to the same thing that we're talking about. What did he say? And by what did he say, what did he mean? Did he mean, Ben's I'm a Christian, Ben's I'm saved, I got access to the Father, I can get on my knees and pray and say, Jesus, I would like to have $1 million tomorrow. That's anything you ask, right? Anything you ask. I'd like to have $1 million. I'd like to drive a Mercedes. I'd like to have a 5,000 square foot home. I would like to have this. I'd like to have this. I'd like to have this. No, what he clarifies what he means is when he says, in my name. Because when he says, in my name, he's talking about according to my will, according to my plan, according to my purpose, and according to God's glory. All that is wrapped up in when he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Because when he says anything in my name, this is what his name means. His plan, his purpose, his glory, all of these things. That comes with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so as you and I go through our life, what are some things that we can do in his name that we know will be an acceptable spiritual sacrifice to God and fulfill what Jesus has said that he will do in his name? That's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at as we go through this. Something that is consistent with his kingdom, something that is consistent with his name. All right, now we're going to Romans chapter 12. And we started on this just a little bit last Sunday night, I think. But Romans chapter 12. Wait just a second, everybody to get there, and those folks watching online to get there. Therefore, I urge you, I implore you, he's saying, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy. All right, now, what he just said, brothers, I urge you in view of God's mercy, he's talking about everything he's already said beginning in chapter 1 through 11. In view of what you already know you have received in Christ, that you didn't deserve, that you could not earn, he's already talked about us being totally depraved, totally unable to save ourselves, that we cannot change our own life, that we did not seek God, nor could we do anything that was good. He's talked about all these things and how God has blessed us there and with his Spirit in us, Christ in us, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we could walk in life in the power of the Holy Spirit. According to all these things I've done for you, my mercies, according to all of them, he says, in view of all this I've done, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, what does he mean by that? What does he mean? Because here's the same thing we see. What were we talking about in 1 Peter? Spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifice. To offer your body as living sacrifices. What he means is every function that I have as a human being in my body. My hands, my feet, my legs, my eyes, my ears, my eyes. Everything that I touch or do should be thought of beforehand. How does this bring glory to God? And how is it an acceptable sacrifice unto God? How is it an acceptable sacrifice unto God? Living. When Christ came, animal sacrifices was needed no more. Jesus Christ was the ultimate, once and for only sacrifice for the sin of all mankind. But we as priests have been called on to offer spiritual sacrifices, living sacrifices, if you will, unto the Lord. And so this is what he's talking about here. He says, notice what he says next, holy and pleasing to God. What did we just talk about in 1 Peter? Acceptable unto God. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. All right, now look at the next verse. 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There's your acceptable sacrifice. So, what is the main thing that I use in my faculties to be able to offer spiritual sacrifice unto God that is holy, pleasing, and acceptable to him? My mind. My mind has to be transformed, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. And the renewing of my mind comes from two sources, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit renews my mind as a Christian. So, you can take almost any circumstance, for instance. I know Thursday when Mike Hicks had surgery, Brother Nate was tied up. He couldn't go. Kevin was going to go with Nate. So I talked to Kevin Wednesday night, told him I would go with him. Well, when we went and sat with Mike's wife, think of her name in a minute, Beverly, thank you. Beverly and Elizabeth and Thomas, when we sit there with them and had prayer with Mike, we think about that with our mind. Is this something that we should do as a priest that would be holy and acceptable to God and bring honor to God through Jesus Christ? Yes. So that's what you do. That's what you do. It could be something as small as opening a door for someone that is not able to open the door themselves. But you think in your mind, as your mind has been transformed, you help those that need help. Because that's what Jesus would do. You care for those that need care, because that's what Jesus would do. You share with people that need to be shared with, because that's what Jesus would do. So as you go through your life with a mind that's transformed, thinking about what would be pleasing and acceptable unto God, you do those things. Now, if all you do is think about them, it doesn't work. You have to it has to go from your mind to your feet. It has to go from your mind to your hands. It has to go from your mind to your mouth. Anything you do, Jesus said, anything you do in my name, which is according to his will, his plan, and his purpose, I will do it. So when you do those things, I know when I started out, when God had called me to preach, and I started out, yeah, I was young at one time, a young pastor. I know that's hard to believe, but I was. I was a young pastor, and I would be going into circumstances I'd never been in all my life. All I knew was that was something that Jesus would do. That was something that God would have me do. And if I went and I made myself available to be used of God, he would take care of it. He would do it. That's all I had to know. And that's all you have to know. Sometimes we're so afraid to do what we know we should do because we're afraid we'll fail somehow in what we're doing. But when we know that is according to the plan and the purpose of the will of God, Christ Jesus, we don't have to worry about that. What we have to do is have enough faith to follow through, and that gets back to experiencing God. When you do that, what you find is you're not actually doing it. He is. He is. And that is the greatest freedom and the greatest joy in the world, to know that you have been used by God. To know that you have been used by God in a spiritual, that is your spiritual sacrifice, to allow God to use you and all your faculties for his glory, for his plan, for his purpose, and show up, and then he will do anything you ask, I will do it. I remember as a young pastor, I had called, and there was a family that was in turmoil, and the man of the husband of the family had a gun and a pistol, and was threatening to shoot himself. And the wife had already been locked outside, and she was bawling and crying. And the police were there, and they had called me and asked me, "Can you come?" Well, what do you do? You go. What would Jesus do? he would go. But as you're driving there, all these thoughts are going through your mind. What am I going to say? I don't want to say the wrong thing. What am I going to do? I don't want to do the wrong thing. And this and this and this and this. But all you have to know is this according to the purpose and the plan and the will of God that would bring him glory? And if it is, Jesus made me a promise. Anything you ask in my name, I will do it. And so when I showed up, God did what God does. And it all turned out. That has been my life. That has been the story of my life, my whole life story. When I became pastor of this church, I don't know how many people came to me and said, "You'll never make it. You'll never succeed. You'll never be able to do it." Well, they didn't have to tell me that. I knew I couldn't. I didn't have to. All I had to do was believe he could. And once you believe he can, and you know it's according to his will, his purpose, and his plan, just enjoy it. Just see what God can do. Because I knew, he said, if you ask anything in my name, which means according to his will, his purpose, and his plan, I will do it. He didn't say, "You will do it." He said, "I will do it." And when you know that, that gives you such a freedom and joy to know that you are a vessel that the God that spoke this universe into creation is now working through you. Do you see it? Well, get a hold of it. Because from the smallest thing you do to the greatest thing you can do, if it's according to the will and the purpose and the plan of God, he will bless you and he will do it. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about offering spiritual sacrifice as a priest, because we're all part of the priesthood of Christ as a born-again believer and a child of God. Amen? All right. I heard a bell ring, I think. Yeah. Okay. So we'll pick up there tonight. All right. Thanks for coming back, Jim. We're actually in chapter 2. I know, brother. I love you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day and study the Lord's Word. It is such a revelation of truth, and an empowering revelation of truth, that we can, as feeble and fragile as we are, become vessels empowered by the Holy Spirit to be used for the glory of God and to magnify his name. So thank you for teaching us, helping us, leading us, empowering and guiding us, that we might be the priests on earth that you saved us to be. Bless the service to follow, and speak through Brother Aaron as he speaks. Bless our praise team, our musicians, the singers, and everyone that has a part. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.